play to win the storm, come back and win that game by 8 at home. It kind of got the season back on track a little bit for them, and it led to, you know, they followed it up by beating Oklahoma by 30. So it kind of got them on the, you know, kind of back on the rails. But, you know, ever since that Oklahoma game, they've just kind of been underwhelming. And I think you could even extend it. You know, yeah, they had that KU game that got them on track. They had a good KU game, a good Oklahoma game. But those two games were sandwiched in between some, I feel, bad games for it, too. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But I do look at that KU game and think, you know, it could potentially, they can go on the road in Lawrence and get a win against their rival, who has now jumped them in the standings. That's huge. I mean, that's huge. I can't even tell you how much confidence it would give Matty to be able to get kind of to get back up, you know, kind of get back up off the mat. You need a really good basketball team on the road, rival. And then you come home and play Oklahoma State, who I believe is the worst team in the conference. They're 2-10 overall. Now they're 2-10 in Big 12 play. They're 7-14 overall. So they are the worst team. Well, I don't know. I mean, Texas Tech and TCU are pretty close as well. But Oklahoma State is statistically the worst in the conference right now. So it's a game that you should win at home. I'll put it that way. So, you know, it could set up well before they've got they've got two tough games, you know, where they've got Texas and Oklahoma back-to-back, two really good teams, and, you know, there's challenges out there for them. So they need to get it figured out. They need to get it figured out, because if they don't, it's going to hurt their seeding going into the big play there in the NCAA tournament. And they're a team that could be one and done, and that would be disappointing. It would be disappointing if, you know, they were one and done in the tournament. You know, the country only got one game to really see AOPA Lee. That would just be a bummer. So, you know, they need to find a way to kind of get out of this, as you mentioned, kind of that slump that they're in. The dog days of summer that we see, as you mentioned, using the baseball reference, and many teams and many players go through. So they've got to find a way. But I'm concerned. I'll be honest. I am concerned about them. You know, they're beginning to show a few of the things that they had last year in that team that finished last in the Big 12, and it's a little concerning to me to see that. So I'm really interested to see what they do against KU. I really have no idea. If someone said they win by 20, I would not be shocked. If someone said they lose by 20, I would not be shocked. That game could go any direction, and nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me. I don't feel like in that game, which is just wild. So, it's a huge game. It's a huge game, and it really could be a season-defining game for them, because you know if they don't get that game, things begin to kind of snowball on a bit. They'll find themselves in the bottom half of the conference. You know, you mentioned it. They're sitting at fifth right now. They could slide to they could slide to sixth and you know make their bed right there and just camp out the rest of the year. I mean, it's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility for them. And so that would just be disappointing. The way that they have really played a majority of the year. But look, you know, I'm not going to jump the gun. You know, I'll not jump the gun. Baylor's a really good team. They should never lose like that to Baylor. But Baylor is a really good team. We all know how dominant they've been. You know, maybe we had maybe we had unrealistic expectations. I don't want to say unrealistic expectations, but I thought, you know, K-State beat them by 9 in Bramlage. I thought they could play them close. I didn't think they'd win, but I thought they could play them a little closer there. Just because they really dominated Baylor here in Manhattan, and I should say here in Manhattan. I'm not Manhattan.
I'm not there.
I'm not in Manhattan. You're in Manhattan, but they, I mean, they really dominated them in Manhattan, and so I mean, I thought they had a chance to compete down there. Like I said, didn't they get the win? But I thought they could compete with them, and they didn't compete at all. So I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure about them, but. But hopefully they can, you know, they can bounce back against KU. So, you know, hopefully one of these two basketball teams, Eddie, someone can start getting trending up. That would be fantastic. But And well, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I have no idea what our conversation will be like next week. I really don't. All I'll say is you got to have more points, more than 8 points for Mayoka Lee. You're not winning many basketball games. Mayoka Lee has 8 points total. And look, I don't know what the status, nor do I know the status of, was it Sundell who was it only in there for 3 minutes? Great question. You know, we didn't even log any statistics except a foul. So I'm not sure what happened there. I'm not sure if it was an injury.
I'm not sure either. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what happened there, but that's a loss. You know, if Sundell can't go, that's a loss. I mean, that's a real thing. You got the Glenn sisters. I've been impressed with what they've done, but man, making up the loss of Sundell, that would be tough. You know, that would be tough. K-State would have to definitely rely kind of on that bench, and you know, have to rely on players like Dallinger and to step up in the absence. So we'll just have to see what happens there. But either way. You know, they're going to need to get more Nate from Mayoka Lee. They're going to have to get her more involved and make sure she gets touches. She's getting touches on all the on those offensive possessions. And, you know, they're moving the ball. They're moving the ball, and they're trusting the pieces that they have, because we've talked about it before. They've got some good surrounding pieces. They really, you know, they do. And so they just need to get them going. They need to get them in a rhythm. And, you know, I think that's important. So, you know, hopefully they'll bounce back. But, biggest game of the year, no doubt about it. Saturday, and then Lawrence for them.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yep, and breaking news, I do have my internet back in Manhattan, Kansas, day after kind of the internet kind of fell asleep there for whatever reason, but internet is back
okay,
on.
Okay, Eddie, your role player had your back. I yep. Showed up clutch. I hit a couple threes. I kept us in the game.
yep. So everything's back. So, but that does affect the recording as well. So I'm going to have to end up breaking this up into two parts. So anyways, the record button is still going. So, but Baylor, finish up the women's talk here before we wrap up the podcast with a little bit of baseball. Baylor 95, K-State 50. This is the women's game. K-State getting only 50 points. Yeah, you're not going to get much. If Mayoka Lee scores 8, there you're going to have to get more than that, obviously, and get more from the Glenn sisters. Yeah, Briley had 10. Jalen had only 3 points in the game, had over 4 rebounds and 2 assists. We don't know the status of Sandell. We'll have to stay tuned on that. But just like I said in the primetime daily, I don't know what happened there. So hopefully everything is okay there. I know she's been prior to this game was battling a little nagging injury. So I know I do know that from watching the TCU game the other night. So when they played TCU, so there's that. But yeah, they're gonna have to rely on Jada Moore and Simone Goodrich, who's been there. Goodrich, I'm talking about, been there forever, it seems like. But 9 points there, you're getting that type of production. 9 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. Jada Moore, 25 minutes of action, 5 points there, 3 assists, 2 rebounds. And yeah, so you have 15 points there. That's a combination of Goodrich and Moore, 15 points. That's more points than Briley Glenn, and that's more points than Mayoka Lee individually. So yeah, you're gonna need a lot more productivity going forward. Yeah, K-State, they started out house of fire, still on the women's sideline. But as of late, if I can pull the schedule real quick, right now they're 17-7, and they're fifth in the Big 12 at 7-5. I got it up now, up and rolling here. Let's see if I can get down to, yeah. So they've been a little bit on an inconsistent mark since their 2-game winning streak against KU in Oklahoma. That was the Mayoka Lee 61 game, right? So since then, K-State, Alex, to your point, 3-3 in their last six games there as well. So a little bit of up, down, inconsistent win, loss. Well, if anything, good news, I'm gonna put this out there on the podcast. Anything, if this pattern continues, then we should hopefully beat KU in Lawrence since we lost to Baylor. If this pattern continues, we're scheduled for a win.
I'm on board. I'm on board for any win that includes beating those Jayhawks, dude.
That'll be good. That'll be good. And that'll be, if K-State women can do that in Lawrence, they will sweep the season series against KU. How big is that?
Huge, especially with how good KU's been this year. They've been one of their better years.
I mean, it's not going to be a pushover because KU is definitely improved this year, that's for sure. So, but K-State, yeah. But the bad news for K-State, even me saying that, they're on the road. So they need to tighten up real fast. And 32% shooting from the field, that's not going to cut it either. So,
no.
We'll see what happens with the K-State women's team. Both teams in action this weekend. The women on the road, they play at 6 o'clock Central Time in Lawrence, while the men's team have to travel to Ames for a 3 o'clock afternoon tip-off there in Ames in the Big 12 conference play continues as well. Alex Aiden in San Diego, California. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas for the Pro Project Podcast. Episode 86 here as we near the finish line on this edition of the podcast. To close it out, we're going to talk a little bit about some baseball here. In K-State, next weekend, K-State going to Globe Life Park, home of the Texas Rangers, that new ballpark down there. We're going to be playing three heavyweights down there. And, Alex, preseason poll, at least in the Big 12, came out. Came out actually a couple weeks ago, but I was able to do a little bit of digging with the team. And of course, no surprise. As usual, K-State is usually picked in the bottom half, whether it's football, basketball. Yeah, we know the gist. K-State.
You name the sport, they're picked in the bottom half.
Yep, K-State picked 7th. Texas, your preseason favorite. Then you got Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor. Four of the five teams, Texas teams there. So, yeah. They're pretty good. Oklahoma, 6th.
They are good, yeah.
Kansas State were right there in 7th, West Virginia 8th, and at the bottom feeder, KU, they're in the 9th position there. But K-State picks 7th overall. Pete Hughes did speak with the media this week, and he's very optimistic about the season, obviously, but they're going to have their hands full next weekend. Next weekend, Alex, we're talking about not Major League Baseball, because they're still in lockout.
We're talking
about college baseball going to be starting up pretty soon. And for the Cats, they're going to be throwing right into the gauntlet, right into the teeth of the fire with three big opponents in Texas. We talked about this briefly on this podcast, which is going to be good for the K-State team there. So I'm really anxious, obviously, to see what they do. They're going to have some new faces on that team. Obviously, there's a couple familiar faces on the team, like Dylan Phillips. If you haven't been paying attention to the dailies, I've been doing a couple of things on him. He's been in the preseason media talks. Dylan Phillips has as well. Connor McCullough returns, one of the pitchers as well. So there's a lot going on. And if I recall last year on this podcast, K-State played very well at home at Toyin Family Stadium. They are rocking and rolling, upsetting people. Texas
Tech. They were amazing
Tech.
At Toyin.
Yeah, and then on the road, kind of like the women's team,
gosh.
Awful. And
big cover.
They could not, and just like the women's team right now, the basketball team, they could not translate that to, and we had the number one pitcher, Jordan Wicks, on our team last year. Obviously, first round draft pick for Chicago Cubs. But, yeah, so, I mean, again, finding consistency. That's what PQ's talked about in his media day this week. Finding consistency. We can do that, then we want to be nationally recognized. Well, if we're going to do that, got to play better on the road.
mention it. Last year, look, last year, Toyin Family Stadium, or not Toyin Family, Toyin, I forget which stadium's a family. Like, anyway, Toyin, they were great. They won, I can't remember what their exact record was, but they were very good. They were very difficult to beat at home. They lost maybe just a couple series at home all season. They were really, really good in Manhattan. But as good as they were at home, they were that bad on the road. They were awful on the road. Amazing at home, awful on the road. And so, you know, that's something that's going to have to change because if I don't know who all recalls, but K-State was right on the bubble in the last year in kind of getting into the dance there and then trying to make a run there to possibly a super regional. You know, you kind of look back at K-State and kind of what they did in the road. I mean, I remember them, KU, I think, threw a no-hitter on them in Lawrence, if I recall correctly.
Yep, uh-huh. KU was the worst team in the Big 12.
Like, that can't happen, okay? Like,
that was bad. That was really bad.
No no-hitters against the worst team in the Big 12, okay? Like, that cannot happen. You know, you can't go lose some of these road games.
I did a daily on that. You bring it. I was not happy with that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that back up, but I can't. It was a doubleheader. Wasn't it a doubleheader? And they got swept in the doubleheader.
Yep, got swept. They lost 2 of 3.
They did. And that was, I feel like that was the second game of a doubleheader. But it was, either way, that was really bad. But you can't be doing that. You can't be losing 20-3 to the teams on the road. You just can't be. You can't be doing that. And like I said, they were. I do actually feel like they had a good team last year, and I felt like they were a team that they were streaky. So when they got hot, they could beat anyone. I mean, heck, look, they beat. They beat TCU. What, twice? They beat NTCU was really good last year. They beat another top team twice too. I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head, but they beat some of the big dogs, especially when they were in Manhattan. And they went on a run of the Big 12 tournament and got into the Big 12 championship. So they were streaky and they were capable of doing it. They were just a little too streaky. And they could kind of let their guard up. I thought the Big 12 championship game was a perfect example of it. They were in that game, and then they ended up getting mercy rolled somehow in the Big 12 championship. That was very appropriate for K-State to get mercy rolled in the Big 12 championship. That lined up.
Yep.
But look, they've got to be more consistent this year when you're looking at kind of the home and road splits and you know, it's going to start on these early season tournaments. You know, they got a lot of them. They're playing some really good teams. That's going to be tough. But you mentioned it. You know, PT, he's optimistic. And he threw the O word out there, Eddie. He threw the O word out there. He threw Omaha out. I didn't do it. He did it.
He didn't do it.
He said, if we want to get to Omaha, we have to play good in these early season tournaments, and you know that it really is going to be an indication, you know, kind of the growth of the program and how far they've come over the last 3 years and those 2.5 seasons. So pretty much what we're talking about right now, you know, how much have they grown as a program from where they were a couple years ago to, which was not good, to last year where K-State was beginning to taste some success. You know, let's not forget, this team stunk when PGs took it over. And they finally began to taste some success last year. That was one of their best seasons in a long time, which is crazy to think because, once again, you know, going back to my college days, they won the Big 12. You know, but after they won it, they fell into a, you know, they struggled. I mean, they really struggled. And so it was tough for him getting in there, but they kind of got back on a little bit. But how much have they grown? You know, these early season tournaments are going to be a great measuring stick for how much they've grown. Now, I'm not going to throw I'm not throwing the over out there, Eddie. I think it's a little ambitious to to throw that out for this K-State team, especially a team that lost a first-round draft pick and you got to replace them. That's not easy to do. But I am curious. I'm curious to see what they're going to look like this year in comparison to last year. You know, how much better are they or worse? How much have they grown? And kind of, you know, how are they doing in this kind of new, you know, PU system going into what it's a fourth year here. So I think we're going to learn a lot from them early on. And, you know, baseball is not a sprint, it's a marathon. So doesn't necessarily mean we need to put all of our, don't need to make all of our judgments after the early season tournaments. But with that said, I do still think you can learn a lot from them. And their growth. And you know, look, if their goal is to make it to Omaha, you do need to perform well in those early season tournaments. But what I love about PU's is that he loves opportunities like that. You know, he loves to be able to tackle tournaments like that, playing teams like that. Let's not forget last year they had a couple tournaments like that as well. And they're doing what they do. You know, they're going down to, the warm weather, and they'll get acclimated, and they'll get some, get to play some baseball. So, and heck, one of the games, I believe they play Arizona, in that tournament as well.
Arizona. Yep.
I believe they do. Yeah. Well, Arizona played the national championship last year, so let's see how good you are. Step out of the plate. Let's see. We're gonna learn early. You know, how you do against a team that was in the national championship. You know, a team that's in the mix to play in the national championship against this year. Mm. You know, are you gonna get blown out 20-0, or are you gonna put up a game? I mean, I'm curious to see these things. So, and look, it's also right around the corner. You know, we talk about this. Baseball season begins what, like the very beginning of March. So I mean, we're less than a month away. From getting this thing going. And in fact, Arizona's their first game of the. Yeah, it's the first game.
Next weekend.
Eddie, I had a brain last week. I totally knew that. I don't know why I thought early March. I have no idea why I was thinking that. They start mid February, February 18th. Starting off there against Arizona, but. Don't listen to me, because I'm getting my dates mixed up over here. I'm getting my time mixed up. So, the season's here. So, there's no season to prepare. There's no time to prepare for it or anything like that. So, buckle up, because we're rolling. We're rolling in a week.
Yep, that's right. Next weekend, Arizona down in Texas, Michigan and Auburn. Three big games, three heavyweights in 3 days there in their preseason tournament down there for K-State, for Pete Hughes' club. This is the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, the 2022 State Farm College Baseball Showdown for K-State is going to be a part of that next weekend. Friday afternoon, Michigan Saturday morning at 11, and then Sunday morning, you got Auburn at 10:30, after the first pitch. All those games will be on K-Man, the radio station in town, K-Man 1350 AM 93.3 on the FM side. For those who are interested in catching those games as well, so right off the bat. And Alex, you're right as well, early March. It's going to be the first home game officially.
That's what I was mixing up. I was mixing up first game from home game, because they started on their – they're starting on that southern swing, and then that west coast. They go out west after that, and then they finally loop back home after their trip there to L.A. To play, Nebraska, March 8th. So I got my dates mixed up. I got the home opener and the opener mixed up, But Eddie, it's here. And I can't believe this. I'm just going to go on a quick mini rant. Flow Sports, are you kidding me? Flow Sports is really broadcasting those first three games. I don't know if anyone remembers, but Flow Sports broadcasted a K-State basketball tournament back the year they won the Big 12 with Barry, Dean, and Cam. Like a tournament they had in like the Bahamas or something. I don't know, but I hate flow sports. I hate flow sports. So that really ticks me off, Eddie. That ticks me off. Every other game's on ESPN Plus. I have ESPN Plus. Got to go over here and deal with flow sports to watch those games. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, this should be a great game, though. So, back to you.
So Nebraska, March 8th is the first home game at Twin Family Stadium. The former Big 12 rivals, Nebraska, the Big Ten. That'll be fun. That's going to be fun there. March 8th, 6 p.m. Then I'll probably say this throughout. But, of course, after that, it's going to be a three-game set home with Central Connecticut State, interesting opponent, and it's sandwiched in between that and Morehead State, three-game series on March 18th to the 20th. You got one game match with Omaha in Omaha. So you got that. Of course, Omaha played in here last year, if I remember correctly on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Air Force comes to Toyton Family Stadium. That will be interesting matchups. Two games set March 22nd through the 23rd. Both games are at 6. And then you go into conference play for your conference series opener at TCU. And then to continue the home, the Toyton Family schedule, Northern Colorado comes in here for two games. April 1st, Oklahoma State comes into town with three. Creighton with a 1-1. April 5th there, and then you go on the road for a series. That's the Red Raiders. And then Texas comes calling April 14th through the 16th. That's a three-game set. That's a weekend set there. And your annual one-game match with Wichita State, which you had here in Manhattan last year with that costly loss there. You go hope to go back for a revenge game. That, by the way, is April 18th in Wichita, Kansas there. And Omaha reappears reappears on the schedule. How weird is that? So they spread it out. April 19th.
We don't need two games set. We'll play one game. We'll play a month later for one more.
And then how about this, Alex? UC Irvine comes to Toyota Family Stadium. Oh, we know that name so well.
Unfortunately, we know that name a little too well.
Yeah, April 22nd through the 24th. That is a weekend set. And then how about this, Alex? You got to go to Nebraska. April 26th. So they did the same thing as Omaha.
Same as Omaha. You play them at home for one. You take about a month off, then you go on the road.
Yep, and then Wichita State after the Oklahoma three-game set.
Same thing with them, too.
Uh-huh, and then you welcome in your rival KU to Toyton May 6th through May 8th. That is a weekend series there. And you actually got a six-game homestand here. KU and Baylor come calling. So that the KU May 6th through the 8th, and then back-to-back weekends you have Baylor, Friday, May 13th through the 15th there as well. So that could be big games down the stretch. And then, interesting curveball here, ACC opponent, which Virginia Tech, you got to go to Blacksburg, Alex, for that one.
Well, and then, as well, you're already out in West Virginia. Why not just make a pit stop there in Blacksburg?
Yep, and then you end the season at West Virginia. So, yeah, interesting homestand at Toyton Family Stadium for Pete Hughes this year. But again, they were so tough here last year. We'll see if that translates to that same success with some old faces and some new faces coming up in the 2022 K-State baseball season. This is the Purple Project Podcast here. Going to close it out. Got a few more minutes here because it is past my bedtime. So it's getting late, folks. We'll leave the last few moments for anything else. Obviously, Super Bowl weekend, Sunday, late afternoon, early evening with the – you already mentioned it, Alex, earlier with the Rams and Bengals matchup. That will be an interesting game as well. Alex, anything else there to close things out?
First off, I just want to say – The baseball schedule is in general very interesting. Very interesting schedule. for the Caps. You know, obviously, so we'll learn a lot early on about them when they make their trip to down to Texas, and then they come over to see me here in Southern California. They'll go see my brother. They'll be a couple hours north of me. I will say this: they have come out here to San Diego. They have come out here before. They've come out here and they played some tournaments and played some games. They've done it since I've been out here, but they're not making a pit stop out here this year. They're going ahead and going to County North up in South Route in LA. But yeah, you know, getting to the Super Bowl, Eddie. It'll be a tough one for me to watch, but I will tune in and watch that game, as I mentioned at the top. My Chiefs found a way to blow an 18-point lead in the AFC Championship, so still trying to figure that out. I'll be 100% honest, Eddie. It was easier for me to take that loss than like what the Chiefs did in 2018 in the AFC Championship, where they lost that overtime to the Patriots, and where that was a game where it was like, oh my gosh, the Chiefs were right there, and they just about had it, and they were playing well, and they were getting all this momentum on offense, and Tom Brady just did what he does, and that one, it felt like the Chiefs played well the second half, and time just kind of ran out on them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really tough. Well, I shouldn't say time ran out; it went to overtime. But and then Tom Brady won. You know, they won it overtime. It was one of those deals where Mahomes didn't touch the ball. I know we talked about overtime a few weeks ago. It was one of the scenarios where it was the opposite. The Chiefs didn't touch the ball in that one. But that one was really tough to swallow, because it was kind of like, the Chiefs, man, you feel like they had that game, had at least like a minute left, and they had the interception, had it won, they lined up on sides. Hold it. Won't go down that path. Anyway, this game against the Bengals, the Chiefs had every chance in the world to win that game. Like, you get up 21-3, and, even when you're struggling, the defense gets an interception. The defense only allows Cincinnati to get touchdowns on, I think it was 10 drives, two of the 10 drives, or three of the 10 drives. The defense was doing their job. They were giving the offense chances, and the offense looked unstoppable the first half and just went ice cold in the second half. But they had every chance, even with everything going wrong in the second half, that offense had every chance to just finish the game, win the game, ice the game. Hell, even in the last 2 minutes of the game, they had a chance to just punt it in and end it, win it at the goal line. And they were boxing the plays there and ended up in the third long and had to kick a long field goal. And then they get the ball in overtime to start, and they have a chance to go out of the win, and they did take advantage. So for me, it's like, look, you had every chance in the world to win that AFC Championship game, and you just didn't take it. So it's hard for me to sit here and be like, what could have been? Because they had every chance to see what could have been, and they didn't do anything with it. So, as a fan, I kind of just chopped that up to luck. There's nothing they were going to do in that second half to flip a switch and get that thing and get that thing going. And it is what it is. That's going to happen some years. We've talked about this before. You go to 4 AFC championships in a row, you're not going to win them. It's just not going to happen. Two and two, honestly, is not that bad. For go 500 championship games. I guess you'll take that. Super Bowl appearance, 2 of 4 years. So it sucks. I do fully believe the Chiefs are the better team than the Bengals, but you got to give the Bengals credit, because Brett Veach, Chiefs GM, said it. He said it's kind of like a heavyweight fight. He said, we threw the early punches, and he said they just hung around. He said Cincinnati just they hung around, and they just didn't go down. They waited till the 12th round, and they were able to finish off there. So I think that's right. It's exactly what they did. You got to give them credit. I feel good. I feel good for Cincinnati, for the Bengals fans. That's a good. It's good fan base. They do, as much as it sucks for the Chiefs not to be there. The Bengals fans do deserve it. They deserve that opportunity to play that game. So I'm definitely happy for them. And, Look, I'm also happy for Matthew Stafford, you know, with the Rams, having a chance to play in that game with everything he's gone through in Detroit, to be able to have that opportunity and for him to have the postseason that he's had. That's a really good story, too. So I'm pretty neutral, to be 100% honest, Eddie, going into the game. I would probably say I'll be cheering for the Bengals, probably. But I'm pretty neutral. I think I'll be pretty content either way. It ends up. You know, hopefully we just have a good game. I think we will. I think we'll have a good game. We got two. The playoff field's loaded this year. That was a loaded playoff field. So it was full of really good teams. And so I don't think there was really much scenario where we would get a game that would be real offside of the Super Bowl. And so we got a good matchup. And I'm eager to see what happens there, after that, football, we'll put it to bed, and, that'll be it. That'll be football for the 2021-2022 season.
Yep, that's going to be it, yeah. That's going to be it after Sunday, yeah, and then we will continue to call.
But football's never put to bed, Eddie. Don't fool yourself.
No,
we'll be talking about spring it next week on the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, we got spring ball coming up here pretty soon here, so we kind of referenced that last week, and we'll reference that again. Basketball still going on, and we'll see if one of these teams can get back off the mat and get a little momentum going here in the second half of the year. We got baseball coming up, track and field, some good performances over the weekend from them. They continue to do well. Tennis, let's see if they can stay undefeated as they play Memphis and Florida Atlantic this weekend here in Manhattan, Kansas. That'll be interesting to follow. Continue to follow that and some more good stuff as well. So definitely the last NFL game of the year. And they turn the page to some other sports, and then of course football, that's going to be still going on with all the recruiting news and things like that. So definitely if you're not a subscriber yet to Triple P, might want to get on that right now, folks. And obviously we're in works of getting hopefully some of our first guests on this podcast. That will be a lot of fun. I know we were supposed to have Keevan on episode 50 or 51 of this podcast. That did not work out, but hopefully soon we'll have him on and possibly a few others before episode 100. So I'm looking forward to that.
I was about to say, Keevan, I know you're listening. Hey, we're ready. Come on over.
Yep, we're ready for you. We're ready for you whenever. Yep, just let me or Alex know. And we'll get you on here. We'll definitely get you on here, folks.
Oh, don't worry, Keith. And I'll bug you still. I'll bug your DMs. I'll bug your texts. You'll be able to dodge me.
Oh, man. We're about to head into another weekend in February. That, my friends, will end on that episode 86 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly. And the Bucks. I'm going to close this out here. Once again, big thanks to Alex Aiden, co-host, as usual for the podcast out there in San Diego. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas on this late Thursday night, February 10th, 2022, folks. That's going to do it again for Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. That is going to wrap things up for this week. Alex, we shall do it again next week. Hey, again, yeah, guess. Let me know. Send it to me. Let me know. Let me know what you find.
No. If we got something, I'll let you know. But I look forward to talking to you next week, Eddie. We'll have lots of basketball to talk about.
That's right. Go Cats. This has been another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. We'll be right back.
the Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.